Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Thursday's here. Welcome in. Spencer on Sports kicking off local programming here on KGYM on this 25th day of May of 2023. How are you doing? If you're enjoying the day today, getting ever so close to the three-day weekend. I said earlier in the week, you just get us to the weekend, please, please, please. We're almost there if you're in the same boat as me earlier this week. Almost made it to the extended weekends. Two more shows to get through, though, here on KGYM. 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 on the FM dial in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. That's how you can find us on your radio dial. You can stream us live at KGYMradio.com. Grab our free app in your app store. Pull up the stream that way as well. Also available on not our smart speaker. That'd be weird if we just had one communal smart speaker to give out to people. We're not like a library or anything. Although we could make some serious cash on that. Isaac, write that down. Communal smart speaker. Just hand it out to random people. If you want one here, take it. Probably would never get it back. Bad ideas already flowing here on this Thursday afternoon. You can find us on your smart speaker and also in podcast form at KGYMradio.com. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well. Isaac, you told me before the show today, you wanted me to mention this on the air even, that if people call in to try to talk on the show today at 319-366-1600, you are going to be rather preoccupied. Not so preoccupied that you won't do your job, but you're tracking a rather important soccer match, I understand.
Yeah, Manchester United's playing Chelsea, and all they need is a draw to secure top four, which would mean Champions League play, which is kind of like a pretty high competition as far as soccer goes in Europe. Okay. So it's regarded as the highest competition within European soccer.
Okay.
So all they need is a draw. Oh, they just scored. Starting off hot, and Chelsea have not been too good this season. So if they don't at least get a draw, I will be quite upset, is maybe the nice way to put it. We'll put it like that. Yeah.
Unlike in American football, where a tie is not a good thing, in football, or the other kind of football that is known in this world, a tie, especially in this case today, is a very good thing.
It does feel very odd to me. It still feels unnatural to me to be saying I'm okay with the draw, because I'm so used to American sports where it's win or lose.
Right.
But I've adapted a little bit more to soccer, where I understand the circumstances, and a draw is completely fine in this case.
There you go. All right. So if you do happen to call in to talk on the show today, any of our shows today, whether it's this one, the gym class, or the Todd Brommelkamp show coming up today between 4 and 6, just be advised, Isaac is watching a very important soccer game right now, and I told him if I see him repeatedly banging his head into the desk on the other side of the glass, I will know exactly what has happened. So we'll let you get on with that, but we've got a great show planned for you here today. Going to get into some baseball. We are awaiting the start of the Iowa-Indiana baseball game, which is set to start at 2:28 p.m., per the folks covering the game in Omaha. The Big Ten tournament continuing on as Iowa, of course, 2 days ago, Tuesday morning, I should say, beat Michigan 13-3 in 8 innings. Indiana, of course, getting past Illinois 4-3. So the second-seeded Hoosiers will face off with the third-seeded Hawkeyes coming up here in just a few moments, about 20 minutes or so from now. The game prior to the Iowa-Indiana game ran a tad bit long. They were kind of flirting with extra innings, but Michigan State able to close the deal. The Spartans knocking out the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers to begin the day in Omaha today, 6-4. So Michigan State is on, Rutgers is out, and Iowa and Indiana are next up. We'll keep you up to date on that. Talk a little bit more about the potential path here for Iowa and get you a live scoreboard update later on in the show. Also tracking some Major League Baseball, two games currently in progress, one just wrapping up, St. Louis Cardinals getting a win over the Cincinnati Reds over at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. That wrapped up just moments ago. Got a moderately full slate of games tonight. Not a jam-packed slate, but plenty of regional teams in action today and tonight. We'll talk about those later on in the program as well. Plus, an interesting story. It's not necessarily Spencer complains about the Brewers. It's Spencer complains about Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred reportedly delivering an ultimatum to Milwaukee. Fix your stadium. Update your stadium. Or risk losing your team? That's what's been reported. That would make so many people mad. Brewers fans, obviously, but you're going to move the team? A team that draws so well for being a small market club? We'll get into that before 3 o'clock today as well. Plenty of playoff talk to get to. We'll talk about an epic win for the Florida Panthers. They completed that sweep. Looked like it was going to go to overtime last night, and then it didn't, thanks to Matthew Tkachuk. Incredible, incredible playoff run. Not just the Panthers, but Tkachuk in general is having. We'll talk about that. Look ahead to tonight. Could have the other series in the NHL wrapped up tonight between Vegas and Dallas. Get into that momentarily, but we do want to talk some NBA. Another key game tonight, the only series left going in the conference finals, is the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Speaking of closing things out, the Heat had a chance to do that earlier this week. They were unable to. The Celtics, of course, picked up that win in Game 4 to avoid getting swept themselves. And now, well, we could be on the cusp of this thing getting interesting. Heat going in with a 3-1 series lead. Boston now trailing 3-1. We talked about this yesterday. That was our poll question yesterday, talking about, do we have a series on our hands? Is this going to get to the point where Miami has to worry? That was part of the questions we were asking and at least trying to answer on yesterday's show. And, well, certainly going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. Boston, as we highlighted yesterday, not been very good at home over the last couple postseasons. The Heat looking to close this one out and move on to the NBA Finals, and all eyes will be on Boston tonight in the NBA as the Heat look to advance to play the Denver Nuggets. Finals, of course, starting up June 1st, which is exactly 1 week from today. We will have Game 1 of the Finals, so the Heat would like to get this wrapped up, get some rest. Celtics, of course, want to keep their season going, and as we kind of talked about yesterday, I think, and I'm sure you all would agree, the longer this goes here, the more games Boston wins, obviously the better chance they have of winning the series, but they want to keep playing, and they feel like momentum is on their side because they just got one. They got one game in their win column. We'll see if the Heat can bounce back from, by all accounts, was a poor shooting night, especially from three-point range in the game on Tuesday night. Heat up 3-1, like I said, looking to make their 7th appearance in the finals, the second most since the year 2000. Only the Lakers, who've gotten a lot of pub this week, of course, with them getting swept out of the playoffs, have more appearances with 8. Some interesting stats when you look at this matchup. The Heat versus the Celtics, of course, they met last year. Similar scenario, the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat are 4-1 versus the Celtics at TD Garden over the last two postseasons. They've won each of the last 3 games there, including games 1 and 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Of course, the Heat were the top seed in last year's postseason, the Game 7, which they were eliminated, was down in Miami. When it comes to the Celtics, they doing pretty well, especially this year when facing elimination. They've won 3 straight games when facing elimination. You look at how that Sixers series played out, of course. They were down 3-2, had that win in which Jason Tatum did not play well at all up until that fourth quarter. Celtics able to get the win in that one to force the Game 7. Had the huge performance from Tatum in Game 7 in that Sixers series to close out Philadelphia and advance. And then they won the elimination game on Tuesday night to force the Game 5 tonight. Going to be interesting to see how this one comes out. And we'll talk about Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler here in just a little bit, because obviously they have been the leaders for their respective teams. But one thing I think a lot of folks are looking at tonight, can the Celtics start out hot? And Isaac, I'm sure you'd agree with me with TD Garden. When Celtics are up, their fans can get really raucous. if you're the Celtics, you want your fans on your side, obviously. And if they get out to a sizable lead early on and really, you know, you can start that intimidation factor, can't you? Especially playing at your home floor. That's why it's important for Boston in a game like this, potential closeout game for Miami, to really be right on your best foot to start this game.
I could also see it going the other way where,
yeah,
if the Celtics start out slow, I could see the fans turning on the Celtics pretty quick. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Given their struggles on the road throughout the past couple of playoffs that we have sort of talked about, I could see the Celtics fans being upset if, you know, the Heat jump out to a quick 15-point lead or something and the Celtics are struggling from three and just seem kind of cold or out of it. I could see the fans being quiet and sitting down pretty early on.
Yeah, if you're the Heat, obviously, you know, as Isaac mentioned, you want to take the Celtics out of it right away. I think Jimmy Butler is going to play a big role in that. Obviously, you look at the game in which the Heat were expected to win that one, and then a lot of us thought that maybe they'd go out and win Game 4 rather soundly. Game 3 in Miami, where Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin all just went absolutely nuts in that one. They shot lights out from three. If you can make that similar thing happen, have that similar kind of game on the road, and take the crowd out of it, as Isaac said, turn the crowd against the Celtics on their home floor, and anything can happen to the NBA, right? Like, comebacks happen, but demoralize the team on their home floor. It's certainly going to be interesting to see if Boston can make a comeback and make that comeback in order to win the basketball game tonight. We talked about the Celtics' struggles at home, 10 and 11 at home the last two postseasons, and ESPN's Tim Bontemps weighed in on that on SportsCenter, talking about what's led to those struggles and how do they turn those struggles around into a victory tonight.
Celtics are now 13-7 the last 2 years on the road, and as you said, 10-11 at home. It's kind of staggering that the Boston Celtics are in Game 5 of the Conference Finals after making the NBA Finals last year and have been this inconsistent at home. And when you talk about, you know, Jimmy Butler before saying that the Heat need to get back to being the consistent selves that they are, the Celtics have only been consistently inconsistent over the past couple of years. It's why all these series have gone long. It's why they're in a 3-1 hole now in this series. And if you look at the way this team has played throughout these playoffs, throughout this season, one big part of that inconsistency, their three-point shooting. Boston is 37-2 when they hit 40% of their threes like they did in Game 4. They are 29-31 when they shoot under 40% like they did the first three games of this series. Let's see if they can play better at home and if they can hit some threes in Game 5.
Sorry for the bad audio quality at the end there, but that was ESPN's Tim Bontemps. So we saw that kind of thing happen, too, with the Celtics, or with the Heat, I should say, in Game 4. The Heat made 8 three-pointers, well under 40% after shooting lights out. So live by the three, die by the three, especially true for both these teams, really, in this series so far. As for the Heat, what do they have to do to avoid this series getting really interesting? Here's ESPN's Tim Legler with a potential answer.
Anytime you go on the road in a big spot, turnovers are key. Eric Spoelstra was talking about their carelessness with the basketball in Game 4. It's even more important when you go on the road because turnovers lead to transition. Transition baskets are what get the crowd going and create that environment in Boston. So you got to take care of the basketball first and foremost. And then secondly, your transition defense has to be much better. I thought the Celtics played with incredible pace. And when they push the ball up the floor, that's when now you get guys walking into threes. You get the ability to drive, kick multiple times, have Miami chase the basketball. If the Heat can force Boston to play more possessions against their half-court defense, they've got a great shot because Miami's half-court defense has been the best in the NBA in the postseason. They are five guys on a string, but when Boston plays early, they're going to get clean looks, and now some of those shooters get confidence early in the game. So on the road, take care of the ball and make Boston play half-court style of basketball.
ESPN's Tim Legler sharing his thoughts on how the Heat can close out the victory tonight. Obviously, you're going to look at the two superstars here for tonight. For Miami, that is Jimmy Butler. ESPN Stats and Info sharing, Butler in clinching and deciding games, averaging 23 points per game. Now, he had 29 in game four. Well, he was just really the only player that scored 20-plus in the entire Heat lineup, both the starters and on the bench in that game four loss. Just a poor shooting night in general for the entire team. But as his supporting cast stepped up in game three, you saw his number dip down a little bit, 16 points in game three, 27 in the game two win at Boston, and then 35 in the game one win at Boston as well, kind of going in reverse order. When you look at clinching games in particular versus the Knicks, and the Knicks shot really poorly in that clinching game. If you remember the Eastern Conference semifinal series between Miami and New York, Butler had 24. Clinching game versus Milwaukee. Do I have to talk about it? Of course I have to talk about it. In the clinching game versus Milwaukee, Jimmy Butler going off for 42 points in the Game 5 victory to knock off the number one seed. So Jimmy Butler obviously going to play a big role in what the Heat do tonight. I'm interested to see. And, of course, the news coming out earlier today that Gabe Vincent, who's averaging 17 points a game during the Eastern Conference Finals, has indeed been ruled out. Who's going to make up for that production? I think you're going to see probably Kyle Lowry inserted in there. We'll see if the Celtics can find a way to neutralize what Lowry can do. Obviously, Lowry older than Gabe Vincent. We'll see if the loss of Vincent means anything for Miami tonight. But Vincent, that big game three, I mentioned that before, along with Robinson and Martin, all shooting very well from three in that game three victory. We'll see if Jimmy Butler takes more of the scoring role on tonight against Boston. And then on the other side, speaking of Boston with Jason Tatum, when you look at his games for postseason career or games facing elimination, to be more specific, obviously, in his postseason career, he averages 27.5 points per game. And then you look at kind of break that down even further when he's facing elimination this year. Game six versus Philly, just had that awful three quarters of the game, missed all 10 of his shots in the first half, but ended up sparking the 14-3 run in that second half that helped Boston get out of that game six and force the game seven. Game seven versus Philadelphia just one series ago, the record 51 points. And then the game four the other night, Tuesday night in Miami, scoring 33 points, 14 of 22 from the floor, 4 of 9 from three-point range. And we'll see if not only Jason Tatum, but the other Jaylen Brown, can be productive tonight as well for Boston. Another interesting thing, piece of news that came out, mentioned Gabe Vincent out tonight with a left ankle sprain for Game 5. Another piece of news that came out, according to The Athletic, Jared Weiss reporting that Malcolm Brogdon's been a key bench piece for the Celtics. He's been playing through a partially torn tendon in his right arm during the Eastern Conference Finals. So literally laying it all on the line, playing with injury, and still performing fairly well during the Eastern Conference Finals here. Jared Weiss, as I said, from The Athletic, says the tendon comes out of his right elbow, leads to his forearm in his right shooting arm, and Brogdon suffered that injury during game one against Miami, who is reportedly dealing with what's called golfer's elbow. I'm not a golf expert, but golfer's elbow doesn't seem like something that would happen with a basketball player, but it was something that Brogdon apparently was dealing with. And tore the tendon while attempting to box out Kevin Love. Of course, he's been a key piece to the Celtics all season long. He was the sixth man of the year. And we'll see if he's able to continue playing through that pain. Obviously going to try to with his team facing elimination tonight in Game 5. What do we think happens tonight? Celtics, Heat, Isaac, do you have an official prediction tonight? I think the Heat are going to close it out. If it gets to game six, I'm starting to think then the Celtics might win this thing, but I think the Heat had the one kind of drop off and they're going to get back to the level of play they've been playing at.
Yeah, I think the Heat are going to be prepared. I think Coach Spoelstra is so smart. I think they'll make the right adjustments. I also think they might see that Celtics win as more of an anomaly with the great shooting that they had and the terrible shooting that the Heat had. So I would also lean the Heat, but as you said, if it does get to game six, Celtics would be feeling really confident, and the Heat cannot have that happen.
Celtics are the higher seeded team, still is the two seed. Miami's been playing like the higher seeded team all throughout this playoffs, really, but Celtics have game five tonight at home, obviously. Game six would go back to South Beach, so even if Boston were to win tonight, defend their home court, Miami would get an opportunity to close it out at home.
Celtics have been good on the road this season, right. This postseason, though. I mean, they won the 76ers game six on the road, which was crucial for them. Obviously, they needed 6 and 7 to make it here. And yeah, I mean, if I'm the Heat, I'm going into this thinking we have to win this one. Otherwise, the Celtics are going to get a little bit too much momentum for what I would want.
As Tim Bontemps said, the Celtics are 13-7 on the road the last two postseasons compared to 10-11 at home. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out. I think the Heat, I'm going to say it, I think the Heat win tonight. They will correct what they need to correct from game four the other night, Tuesday night, and they're going to move on. If there is a game six this weekend, boy, it's going to be anybody's series. The Heat will get a chance. Game six will be back in Miami. Of course, game seven would be in Boston. If you're Miami, and this is the expert hard-hitting analysis you come to the show for, you don't want it to get to game six or game seven. Celtics will be playing with a ton of confidence. But I think it ends tonight. Miami will win the series. We got that Heat-Nuggets final, which would start 1 week from tonight, June 1st, in the NBA Finals. 319-366-1600, your thoughts welcome at 226. We'll take a quick timeout, move on to a little playoff hockey. What a game last night between the Panthers and the Hurricanes. We'll get into that, look into tonight's matchup between Dallas and Las Vegas as well. That's coming up next with Spencer on Sports in the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today, and it's going to be feeling beautiful. Temperatures will be in the low 70s, and the humidity will be nice and low, making it super comfortable outside. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies, and temperatures will fall down into the low 40s. Tomorrow, we'll have sunny skies once again with temperatures in the mid-70s. We are going to warm it up over the holiday weekend with temperatures in the 80s each day under sunny skies. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Opening to the public in September 2023, it's Pin Seekers, with two levels of year-round entertainment featuring 56 all-weather luxury golf suites, smart target greens, 18 holes of authentic mini golf, 6 lanes of duck pin mini bowling, multi-sport simulators, event space, and so much more. For a limited time, get your individual or family membership and save over $500 while also receiving 3 months free. Get your membership or gift card today at pinseekers.golf.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Get your outdoor projects done right at Menards and save 11% on everything. It's a great time for building outdoors with the Midwest's largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking. Visit our outdoor lumber yard today and save big on top-of-the-line lumber for decks, fences, and more. Right now, an 8-foot 1x4 is only $398 after 11% off. Good through May 29th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
229 back at it with you with Spencer on Sports for a Thursday. At 319-366-1600. They're underway in Omaha. One pitch, one base runner for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Ben Wilmus reaching on an error by Indiana's first baseman. Set to be a quick 6-3 putout. in your scorebook if you're scoring at home. But first baseman for Indiana dropped the ball on the toss across the diamond from the shortstop. So Ben Wilmus aboard. Hawkeyes have a base runner, nobody out. Top of the first in Omaha. Hoosiers and Hawkeyes in the Big Ten baseball tournament. We'll keep you up to date with that here throughout the rest of our local shows on KGYM. Hawkeyes would play. We'll run down the bracket and what's transpired over the last day or so here in just a little bit. But Iowa would play Saturday at 9 a.m. bright and early out in Omaha if they were able to get past the Hoosiers today. Long way to go, but Hawkeyes hoping to get another full day off in Omaha. Certainly would benefit them, and win over the number two team in the Big Ten would not be a bad thing either for locking up even more firmly their NCAA regional hopes here in 2023. 319-366-1600. Can't give you live updates, but we'll do our best to let you know what's going on. Now two on, nobody out for Iowa in the top half of the first. Moving on to hockey, as I said, going into break, what a game it was last night in Florida.
Barkov right circle, down to the goal line, Kachuk in first shot, he scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time!
It's 560 WQAM, the Florida Panthers radio call, courtesy of ESPN Radio, their call of Matthew Kachuk's go-ahead goal. 4.9 seconds to play in regulation. Power play goal moving Florida on to the Stanley Cup final. Kachuk, a power play goal in the first period. That helped Florida take a 2-0 lead. Hurricanes then answered with a pair of goals. Florida went back up 3-2. Then Carolina answered. The 16:38 mark, of the game. And then after a tripping call on Jordan Staal for Carolina, 19:03 mark, that power play for Florida set up the game winner with just 4.9, essentially 5 seconds left in the game. Officially, the 19:55 mark of the third period is when the goal was counted, and Matthew Kachuk sending Florida to the Stanley Cup final. What a series, what a run for this Florida team. As the Panthers will now take on either Dallas or Las Vegas for Lord Stanley's Cup. The Panthers, the third team in NHL's modern era to win three or more series after entering as the lowest-ranked team in the playoffs. And you remember, they were down 3-1 versus Boston in the opening round series. Since that time, since they fell down 3-1 in that series, they've gone 11-1 in the postseason, winners of 11 of their last 12, and they've faced some pretty good competition. ESPN Stats and Info pointing out they faced three of hockey's top four teams in points en route to getting to this point. Of course, knocking off Boston, who had 135. The Maple Leafs were tied for fourth, 111 points, excuse me, and the Hurricanes were second in points with 113. Panthers, the third team in NHL history to eliminate three of the top four teams in the league in the same postseason. And they swept this series with Carolina winning all those games by just one goal. Four games by one goal apiece. Certainly some impressive stuff. ESPN's Linda Cohn was on with Freddie and Fitzsimmons following the game-winning goal by Matthew Kachuk last night, and weighed in on the run for the Panthers and pointed out two of their key players, key guys that have helped them get this far.
Incredible to be 11-1 since going down 3-1 of the Bruins. You know, everyone's contributing on this team, but of course the two players that stand out is the goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky, who's a story in himself, who makes $10 million a year, who's been a polarizing figure, and he has saved his best play for the best time. And here he is in the Stanley Cup final. And this team is in a cup final for the first time in 27 years. And then you have a guy in Matthew Kachuk, traded in the offseason. He didn't want to be in Calgary anymore. He made it clear. And the Florida Panthers sent their franchise leader in scoring, Jonathan Huberdeau, to Calgary, brought in a guy like Matthew Kachuk not only did he have a stellar regular season, scoring over 100 points, but what he's doing in the postseason is remarkable. If anybody doesn't think that Florida can win the Stanley Cup, they haven't been watching Florida since falling behind 3-1 to Boston.
ESPN's Linda Cohen, again, from Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night, as heard right here on KGYM right after the hockey broadcast last night. So the Panthers are in. They win that series 4-0, advance to the Stanley Cup Final, just the second time in franchise history. Who's going to join them? Is it going to be Vegas? Is it going to be Dallas? Well, we may find out tonight. May have to wait another night. We'll see what happens. But Vegas, one win away from sweeping the Dallas Stars out of the postseason. Vegas, one win away from their second Stanley Cup Final appearance in franchise history. Vegas, history has shown when they get to this point, 3-0 series lead in a best-of-seven series, well, they complete the sweep. They've done it twice before. They've been up 3-0 twice before. They won both series. Of course, coming off that big performance Tuesday night, as they scored 3 goals in the first 7-10 of the game in Game 3, knocking Jake Oettinger out of the goal for the Dallas Stars. And the Stars going to be without Jamie Benn, who was ejected after being assessed a major penalty and game misconduct for cross-checking Mark Stone from Vegas. Benn has been suspended 2 games for the cross-check, and ESPN's Emily Kaplan weighed in with more about the suspension and what it means for Dallas heading into a crucial Game 4 tonight.
Benn's teammates were defending him after Game 3, calling him a great leader, the heart and soul of the team. But Stars coach Pete DeBoer seemed to understand the fate of his captain. Before this decision, he said, "Our team will accept the consequences." Benn had a virtual hearing with the Department of Player Safety, and they determined pretty quickly this was an unnecessarily dangerous play by Benn. They said he was in control at all times and delivered a forceful hit on a player in a vulnerable position. I'm told because the head and neck were involved, it was clear and simple. Now, Benn has played more than 1,000 career NHL games. No suspensions to this point, but he does have 4 previous fines. And if the next game is the Stars' last, this suspension will carry over to opening night of next season.
ESPN's Emily Kaplan from SportsCenter last night. As good as Vegas has been in their history with a 3-0 series lead, Dallas has not been good when trailing 3-0. Dallas 0-7 all time in Stanley Cup playoff series when trailing 3-0. And even if they were to force a Game 5, as we told you yesterday when we previewed the Florida-Carolina game, teams that are up 3-0 in a Stanley Cup playoff series, all-time record of 204. So chances are it ain't going to happen. And we're looking at a Florida-Las Vegas Stanley Cup final. See if that comes to fruition tonight or if it has to wait another day. But that is what we are heading toward for the battle for Lord Stanley's Cup here in 2023. 2:37, moments away from 2:38. We'll move on to baseball, get you an update from the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. That's coming up next here on The Gym.
Paid actor, not a real customer. Quote based on a healthy, non-smoking 44-year-old male with a 20-year term policy. Rates may vary.
Welcome to Ethos, a new kind of insurance company that believes life insurance should be hassle-free, affordable, and accessible for everyone.
For around $1 a day, I got a 20-year, $250,000 term life insurance policy without a medical exam. All I had to do was answer a few health questions and snap, family protected. It was quick and easy. Ethos is 100% online. I got a quote in seconds, applied in minutes, and got coverage in hours. Just answer a few health questions. No medical exam, no blood tests, no hassle. Look, nobody wants to plan for the unthinkable, but it would be so much worse to not plan at all. So don't put it off. It feels great having the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected.
Ethos, the 100% online hassle-free way to get affordable life insurance. Don't wait. Get your free online quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Back at 2:39 with Spencer at Sports, rolling through a Thursday afternoon with you. 319-366-1600. Tracking everything going on in the sports world today. Spent some time on basketball, Heat and the Celtics, with Game 5 coming up tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals. We've got that for you tonight, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip-off from ESPN Radio, right here on all of our frequencies this evening. There is a Game 6. It would be played on Saturday night. Game 7 would be Memorial Day Monday night. We would have both those games should they need to happen, courtesy of ESPN Radio over the weekend. Don't forget, we do have the 107th running of the Indy 500 coming up on Sunday morning. 10 a.m. coverage start right here on all of our frequencies. Got some baseball sprinkled in as well. If you want to check out the sports broadcast schedule, head to our website, kgymradio.com. Speaking of baseball, a huge missed opportunity for Iowa in the top half of the first. We told you one pitch, one base runner after the error for Indiana got Ben Wilmus on base. The Hawkeyes actually had the bases loaded with nobody out and were not able to score a run. They left them loaded. Raider Tello reaching on a fielder's choice. So that was one out. Sam Honar struck out swinging. And then from short to second. Michael Seager's grounding out to short to end the inning. So the Hawkeyes leave him loaded in the top half of the first. Brody Brecht taking his warm-up tosses here this afternoon. Brecht taking on Luke Sinard. Sinard able to get out of the jam in the top half of the inning. We'll see if Brecht can put together another strong start against the Hoosiers. Iowa able to beat Indiana in Bloomington with Brecht on the hill. Brody going seven innings, striking out seven, giving up just one run in a 7-1 victory a couple months back. See if Iowa is able to repeat that kind of performance, but kind of disappointing. If you're a Hawkeye fan, to see them leave the bases loaded in that top half of the first. Still plenty of baseball to go. We'll keep tracking it for you here on the program today. Looking at the Big Ten baseball bracket, I mentioned one game in the books already today. Rutgers has been knocked out of the Big Ten tournament. The Scarlet Knights falling to Michigan State 6-4. So the Spartans are on to another game in the losers bracket, if you will. Michigan State awaiting loser of game number 8, which will feature top-seeded Maryland or the fourth-seeded Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska winning yesterday 9-7 over Rutgers. So in a double elimination for Rutgers, you lose to Nebraska, you lose to Michigan State. That means you're done. So Michigan State is onward. Nebraska will play Maryland later on tonight at 6 o'clock. On the upper half of the bracket, of course, Iowa playing Indiana here this afternoon. The winner will move on to a game Saturday morning at 9 a.m. The loser drops back and will play Michigan. So if you're Iowa, you may get a repeat matchup with the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan knocked off Illinois last night 6-3. So the Fighting Illini are done in the Big Ten baseball tournament. So potentially a second matchup for Iowa if they were to fall to Indiana here with the Michigan Wolverines. But Iowa, of course, hoping to stay on that winner's side and get a full day off on Friday. If Iowa does fall to Indiana, or if Indiana falls to Iowa, the loser will play Michigan tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So that is the latest from the Big Ten baseball tournament. You've got the Iowa-Indiana game right now as we speak. The other game tonight, if you're curious, want to check out some Big Ten baseball, is the Maryland-Nebraska game. That starts around 6 o'clock from Charles Schwab Field in Omaha. 319-366-1600. Check it out, Major League Baseball. Two games currently in progress, one game in the books. St. Louis Cardinals, a winner today over the Cincinnati Reds. A 2-1 final score for the Cardinals. Beating Cincinnati in Cincinnati, Nolan Gorman. Double in that one, 1-for-3 with a double and an RBI in the one-run victory for St. Louis. Games currently in action right now. You've got the Rays leading the Toronto Blue Jays. That game in the ninth inning, Rays up 6-1, but the Blue Jays do have the bases loaded in that contest. And the Marlins taking on the Rockies from Coors Field. We'll get to schedule here momentarily for today. Let's rewind to yesterday. Cubs getting a win over the Mets, 4-2. Cubs getting three runs in the third to take the lead, held on to it after Francisco Alvarez's two-run homer in the top of the inning gave the Mets an early lead in that one. Cubs able to win. Solid start for Marcus Stroman, went 8 innings on the hill and picked up the win for the Cubs. White Sox a winner over Cleveland, 6-0. Brewers, we talked about yesterday during the show, beating Houston 4-0. Twins, a winner over San Francisco 7-1. You've also had Detroit beat Kansas City 6-4. A couple notable things from baseball yesterday. That Tampa Bay-Toronto series, Shane McClanahan, the first pitcher in Major League Baseball to get to 8 wins on the year. He picked up the victory in the game for the Rays over the Blue Jays. McClanahan striking out 7 in 7 innings on the hill. Orioles, an 8-run 7th inning to beat the Yankees last night 9-6. And some history, more history made for Mike Trout. Last night, we told you yesterday he had tied Joe DiMaggio on the all-time home run list. Well, now he surpassed him. Mike Trout with a 2-run home run in the 4th to help the Angels complete a sweep of the Boston Red Sox. Mike Trout now with 12 on the year, 12 home runs. And that home run puts Mike Trout 85th on the all-time home run list. Next milestone for him, next person he likely will pass, is Lance Berkman. Lance Berkman with 366 career blasts, so he needs 4 to tie Berkman, 5 to surpass him. Ralph Kiner and Todd Helton have 369 home runs, so he'd need 8 more to surpass both Kiner and Helton. Only active players with more career home runs than Mike Trout: Miguel Cabrera with 507, Nelly Cruz at 462, and Giancarlo Stanton with 382 home runs. Have a feeling Trout will surpass the players in 82nd for sure. Kiner and Todd Helton just, 8 away? He's at 362, so he'd need 8 to get to 370. I think that's very doable for Mr. Trout as he looks to make that happen here in 2023. Continue tracking that as well. Marlins took a 1-0 lead over the Rockies in that game. Yuli Gurriel did not realize Yuli Gurriel was a Miami Marlin. Had forgotten he was now in Miami, but Yuli Gurriel with a triple to score Jorge Soler in that one. I see Justin on the text line at 319-366-1600 says, "Give me the Marlins." Well, you're looking pretty good here in the third inning, Justin, with that run by Yuli Gurriel. Other games on the calendar for today, fast-forwarding in time, you've got the White Sox taking on the Tigers tonight from Comerica Park. Lucas Giolito getting the ball for the White Sox there. Phillies and Braves starting up a weekend series. I mentioned ESPN Radio Baseball coming to radio waves near you. Right here in KGYM this weekend, that is some of their featured action on the radio dial this weekend. Phillies and Braves Saturday afternoon and Sunday night. We'll have that action for you here on KGYM. Aaron Nola getting the ball for Philly. Dylan Dodd for the Braves tonight at Truist Park near Atlanta. Mets and the Cubs, 6:40 tonight. Kyle Hendricks making his return to the Cubs rotation opposite Carlos Carrasco there. And the San Francisco Giants in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers from American Family Field. Brewers reportedly starting new signee Julio Teheran, but if you go to ESPN.com, it shows that it is still to be determined. Teheran has yet to pass his physical, as far as I'm aware. That was the latest word there. But Julio Teheran taking the hill. First start for Milwaukee, who needs to get healthy. Pitching side of things, that is for sure, as they still are at the top of the National League Central. We talked about the standings and kind of the who wants to win the National League Central kind of thing. Brewers 2 games up on Pittsburgh as we enter play today. Reds 6.5 back. Cardinals are 5.5 back of Milwaukee. The Cubs just 4.5 back of first place as well. So still very tight heading into the Memorial Day weekend. Quick 60-second timeout as promised. Rob Manfred. I'm not complaining about the Brewers. I'm complaining about Rob Manfred and what he's reportedly told the Brewers. I'll tell you about that in 60 seconds on the gym.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means, wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah. That's what the script says. So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match. Only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Now listen up. I only have 30 seconds to tell you all about my first Netflix show, FUBAR, before this ad self-destructs. I play a spy. On his last day on the job, discovers that, surprise, his daughter is also a spy. Can you imagine that? Together, we both go commando to terminate a very bad guy. So put that cookie down, get to the chopper! And come with me if you want to watch FUBAR, only on Netflix. This Netflix ad has been terminated.
Back at 250 with Spencer on Sports here at KGYM. Isaac, you were just like, I don't know if you were screaming or yelling at your computer or phone, whatever you're watching. How is the soccer going?
It's fine. They're still winning. Just
okay.
Giving the ball up in very... They're killing their attack. I don't know how else to put it other than
okay.
They're playing really well up till the final third and then giving the ball away, and it's frustrating to watch.
Okay, all right.
So, it's like imagine if you had bases loaded with no outs and you didn't come away with a run.
Equating it to what happened to Iowa baseball in the first inning. So everything's good over there, though.
It's still winning, so I can't complain too much.
Okay, very good. Iowa baseball no longer tied with Indiana. Hoosiers look like they played a run just now. Runner thrown out at third base, but the Hoosiers did take a 1-0 lead. Brody Brecht issuing a walk and then hitting a batter with a pitch early on in the bottom half of the first. Hoosiers taking a 2-0 lead here with two outs from Omaha. I'll get you further updates as local programming continues here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. I mentioned this. You know the show. We occasionally do a segment. I'm sure everyone's favorite segment. Spencer complains about the Brewers, and after taking 2 of 3 from the Houston Astros, I really don't have much to complain about. I have some things to opine about, but we're running out of time today and I don't have all that much time to opine about them at the length I'd like to. But this was interesting. This caught my eye. Commissioner Rob Manfred reportedly in Milwaukee and supposedly going to hold a press conference in which he is going to urge major long-term renovations to the home of the Milwaukee Brewers, which used to be Miller Park, now is American Family Field. This is all from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, by the way. And they report the worst case scenario would be the team being forced to leave Milwaukee because the stadium would not be up to the specifications which Mr. Manfred has put forth. We'll see if this press conference happens, if this is actually like a you better do these or we're going to make you leave, or it's just a please do these. Tending to lean towards the former as opposed to the latter because we know how Rob Manfred operates. Journal Sentinel reporting that renovations, which are believed to include upgrades to seating areas, concourses, and gathering spaces, would cost an estimated $428 million over the course of the next 20 years. Currently, between the team and American Family Field runs through 2030, and the agreement would extend the lease through 2043. Of course, Brewers playing in Milwaukee County Stadium for bulk of their existence up until the year 2000. American Family Field, what was then known as Miller Park, opened in 2001, and the Brewers have been there ever since. They have made upgrades. There are probably certainly things that do need to get reworked or upgraded or made modern, but still it's one of the better ballparks, especially for a small market team in Major League Baseball. Kind of confusing to me. Maybe I shouldn't be so confused considering we're talking about Rob Manfred, that he would specifically make these demands of a small market club, number one. Number two, a team that when you compare it to, say, the Tampa Bay Rays, who are very good at what they do, always feel the talented team, been to a World Series more recently than Milwaukee, that's for sure, struggle with attendance. You have all these clubs that seem to struggle with attendance, and Milwaukee is near the top or in the top percentage of attendance. Fans come to support the team, whether they're good or bad. Now there's, you know, nights or days where crowds are, you know, a little bit more sparser than others, but it was there at the end of April, big crowd to watch Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Great fan support, like I said, win or lose. Seems kind of questionable. In a line of questionable things that Rob Manfred has done to demand that one of your more successful small market teams, at least regular season-wise, maybe not necessarily in the postseason, but a team that continues to draw fans, continues to be at or near the top of their division, would be targeted for this. There is a political side to this. I won't bore you with the state of Wisconsin politics. Having moved to Iowa 2 years ago, Iowa politics just as bad or worse, question mark, than Wisconsin politics? I don't know. I don't want to go there. But just to summarize it, the cool story, bro, or too long didn't read summary, Wisconsin's governor proposed part of it as his state budget. The legislature, which is controlled by the opposite party, said, no, can't do it, won't do it. We have our own plan. And they've yet to present that plan. If they did, it obviously doesn't jive with what the governor wants, and it's in we'll wait and see mode. Be a bad political move, I think, to deny the Brewers what they need, my humble opinion. But should we really be tying politics to sports? That's a conversation for another show. Would you look at that? We're out of time. Very convenient. That'll wrap up Spencer on Sports for today. Stay tuned for the gym class. Great guest joining them, Steve Rowe from Hawkeye Athletics. Going to be retiring soon. Steve will reflect that is, on his career. He'll join the gym class just after 3:30. Todd Brommelkamp, special guest as well. Mike Palm from Circus Sports. I hear he's got a big announcement. Want to tune in today between 4 and 6 for that. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday here in Eastern Iowa.